What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of many parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, we're talking about the cutest, most adorable animals who love to murder. I think so many animals are cute, so I've had to really imagine, like, what is objectively speaking the cutest animals out there who also just love to kill. We're talking about murderers with big old puppy eyes, murderers who look like cute little bunny rabbits mixed with chihuahuas, and murderers who look completely inconspicuous, like something that Snow White would have land on her hand and then impale her on a stake. Joining me today to talk about this is producer, director, podcast host of Shooting Threes, and my friend, Bridget Greenberg. Welcome!
Hey, thank you for having me. Talk about some cuties.
Yes, we're going to talk about some cuties. The inspiration for this is that you mentioned to me that you love the black-footed cat.
I love that little murderer.
Yeah, we have talked about him recently on the show, so I didn't want to do a whole episode with him in it. But I do want to briefly go over, like, what do you find so appealing about the black-footed cat? As if I need to ask. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's obvious. Look at the little thing.
Yeah, but he's a little guy.
I've been spreading the gospel about this cat before for years now.
Yes.
I came across it.
Thank
and
you.
Been telling people, and it and he's blown up recently, and I'm proud of him.
I too have been talking about this little guy for years, so I am.
Yeah.
I also feel like I liked the black-footed cat before he was cool, but no gatekeeping here. I love that.
No.
He's now a big thing.
No. I think for me it was there is a picture of him looking real angry with just
yes.
a mutilated bird
with
in his mouth.
Oh, I love that's my favorite yeah. one. I know exactly which photo you're talking about. He's got like a
yeah.
birdie stuffed right in his mouth and just
yeah.
eyes of
He's
Satan.
He's like, I killed this.
In the body yeah. of a little tiny cat who's like, it's a wild cat, but it's like half the
yeah.
size of a house cat. It's teeny tiny.
Yeah. Like, it's truly like kitten size.
Yes.
And looking, and it's the cutest thing. And I think I just, yeah, as someone on the smaller scale of humans, I really appreciate that. Like, you know, don't count these guys out.
Right.
They're athletes. They're incredibly savvy.
Yes.
And they're dangerous, but also I want one.
Bridget is saying that she is dangerous and loves murder.
I'm dangerous.
Just,
I am not to be reckoned
yeah,
with.
Yeah, small people can be killers too. Don't judge a book by its cover.
I'm really sick of people discounting me.
Right.
And what I'm capable of. And it's extreme violence.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I've always kept one eye open with you around, Bridget.
Like, I've always thought maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
as someone who has no business and yells a lot that I will fight people.
Yeah. Now you've got a glint. You've got the glint in your eye. You know, the one that the black-footed cat has in that photo with the bird stuffed in its mouth, that sort of murderous glint. You have that. Now, I don't think you would ever murder anyone.
No.
Simply because I fail to see how that would benefit you.
No. And I've truly have run away from fights that have happened. if we're being honest, but I like to think I'm tough. And these tiny cuties make me believe that I could be tough.
I'm proudly a wimp. I'll just say it right there. The fancy way to say it is like, oh, I abhor violence, but really I'm a huge wimp, but it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just when, at some point you realize there's no way that it's a good outcome for you.
Right. Exactly. To start
there's
it.
To start it, to be a part of it, to even be within like 10 feet of a tussle.
But I'll finish it, you know?
You'll finish it,
by running away.
I'm the kind of person, I'm the kind of person where if people are fighting near me, like if I'm at a concert, I will get sucked into a mosh pit by like accident, like gravity just like pulls the smallest person near it.
That's scary.
I just have to excuse myself because I'm like, I'm going to get punched in the face, even though I'm standing 20 feet away.
My face is,
I respect these guys.
My face is a magnet for stray balls. Okay, that sounds bad, but I mean like sports balls. Like soccer balls,
people,
footballs, ping pong balls, baseballs.
Yeah, you'll get hit.
There are people. By every single type of sports related ball, I would say.
It will happen. Yeah, there are people that are just like magnets, and they're generally like unassuming 5'4" women who are just like magnets for like just stray shit falling on them.
Right. It's like you know, like send me your errant projectiles.
It will land on me somehow. So I got to excuse myself, but I like that these guys they're brave.
They're brave.
Put themselves right in it.
Yes, I love. They're an inspiration. Really?
Yeah, really.
They're on my dream board. I wish to be this murderous someday. So we are not talking about the black-footed cat as much as I love them. We have talked about them recently. I think the title was like it's about cat play. It's like when the cats play, when the mouse is away, the cats will play. And it's got I've got a cat expert on. We talk about cats. I bring up the black-footed cat. We talk about cat evolution. It's good stuff. Check that out if you want to hear more about the black-footed cat. But we are talking about some equally adorable animals who also just are absolutely bloodthirsty and love killing. The first one is one of my, I say this so much, but it's always true. It's one of my favorite animals. This is the tarsier.
They look like aliens.
It's the eyes. I do gotta say it's the eyes.
It's the eyes. It's their little weird ET hands.
Yes. They're adorable aliens. I think cuter than ET.
Especially.
The problem with ET is he doesn't have fur. He's just got the skin.
No.
So.
Yeah. And that was really where Steven, Mr. Spielberg, went wrong. But these guys, they got it right. They covered themselves in fur like all animals, I believe, should.
Right. I mean, we should also. I think that was an oversight for humanity. You know, we should just be
which makes it sound
like I'm a furry, which no offense to furries, I am not. However, I'm not even talking about like an animal like human, just hairy all over, you know what I mean? Like Cousin It, essentially.
Yeah,
if only.
It just makes everybody more approachable.
Yeah, there we go. So, yes, depending on your perspective, tarsiers are one of the cutest or freakiest looking little animals out there. They are a family, so multiple species, of little itty bitty primates found in Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Brunei. And yes, they got gigantic eyeballs. They have mouse-like ears. Different species have different sized ears. Sometimes they're kind of little. Sometimes they're actually a little bigger, but they're always sort of like these little mouse-like ears. They've got long fingers and toes, those sort of their hands and their feet are sort of like not quite how we, you know, how primates have the sort of like hand feet thing where it's like they kind of look like human hands, kind of look almost like human feet. These are quite different. So they're much more primitive, but their hands, just like you said, they're ET hands. They have really long spindly fingers. And
they got those little bulbs.
Yeah, like their knuckles are kind of bulbous. And their toes are also really long and spindly. So they kind of, they actually look like frog feet to me. They're like a hybrid of a mouse, a frog, and a monkey with eyes the size of ping pong balls.
Yeah, that did a bunch of Molly. Yes. They're raging right now.
And for our younger listeners, Molly is just a nice person who likes to party.
It's a nice lady. It's a nice lady who likes to go to parties.
So they tend to be very small. The largest species tend to grow around 6 inches long or 15 centimeters with tails that are longer than their bodies and spindly fingers. So that's not that big. And those are the large, those are the big ones.
Those are the big boys. Yeah, you got like the little, there's a little Furby looking one that I'm guessing is a smaller guy.
Yeah, you want to hear about the little ones? The smaller ones?
Yeah.
The smallest species of tarsier is the pygmy tarsier found in Sulawesi, Indonesia, who is about 3 to 4 inches big, which is like 95 millimeters, and weighs less than 2 grams. So that is like literally just a palmful.
It's like, it's like 6 paper clips. It's so little.
Yeah, I've got this picture and it's just some dude holding one of these little guys. He doesn't look particularly happy to be held. They don't love being handled.
There's rage behind those eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Behind those big glassy eyes.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that rage later. But like, yes, they don't like to be handled, but he is just kind of like peeking out from behind this guy's hand going like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, put me down.
Put me down. But he's tiny and full of rage.
Yeah.
So,
and which those are my favorite combos. Yeah.
I mean, again, telling on yourself here. So
yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So about those huge eyeballs, their eyes are so large, they are often bigger than their brains. Their eyeballs are bigger than their whole entire brain.
Like a Pixar character.
I feel like that's a weird diss to Pixar. Like, your character's eyes are bigger than their brains. It's like,
I just think of like Baby Dory, where I like saw that and I was like, oh, they got a ratio wrong here.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, when you look at you know those like things where people take popular cartoon characters and do a fake like skeleton of them, like here's a skeleton for Pikachu or Garfield or whoever. And it always looks like really funky because the actual internal anatomy of a cartoon would look weird.
Yeah, its head would like topple it. Yeah,
the skull of a tarsier looks made up. It does not look real.
It does.
It looks like one of these like cartoon skulls.
Yeah, it looks like a Pokemon.
It does. It's 90% eye socket.
I know.
So why are their eyes so disconcertingly huge? So while they seem like the cutest, most harmless of the primates, they are the only living species of primate that is entirely carnivorous.
Yeah, look at those teeth.
Yeah, yeah, those are a carnivore's little tiny teeth. So other primates tend to be omnivorous, herbivorous, or frugivorous. Frugivorous, frugivorous, either any way you want to say it.
I believe whichever way you choose.
It's, you know, however I'm feeling. But the tarsier family are nocturnal predators, killers who lurk in the night. So there are nocturnal predators like wildcats who do not have these cartoonishly huge googly eyes. So what the heck is going on, I imagine you asking.
Yes, what the heck is going on?
Thank you for asking,
Katie,
Bridget.
Tell us.
Thank you for asking. So tarsiers don't have a tapetum lucidum. So The tapetum lucidum is a reflective layer behind the retina that you see in a lot of nocturnal or crepuscular animals. So nocturnal means you're active at night. Crepuscular means you're active at dawn and dusk. So twilight.
Sure.
So yeah. These are animals like cats, raccoons, deer, dogs, and many more. And that's why when you look at your kitty cat at night, it's got those glowing demonic eyes.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with their deal with Satan. It's all that tapetum lucidum that is behind the retina that is reflect. Wow. It's like a mirror, a biological mirror that reflects light back outwards.
I was just assuming that was them trying to be cuter for me, but all right.
All right, try hard cats.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll cuddle.
Yeah, but by reflecting light, the tapetum lucidum essentially doubles the amount of light hitting the photosensitive cells on the retina. So the light hits the photosensitive cells, like your rods and cones, mostly rods for night vision. It hits the rods going in, and then it gets reflected back out and hits them again.
Yeah.
So you're actually doubling like the amount of light you're getting in your eye just by having this reflective layer. It's really clever.
Yeah. Big ol' eye. Yeah. No, they just got, I'm just like staring at this thing. It's the strangest looking skull I've ever seen.
Well, right. And so for these guys, right, this is how a cat is able to have eyeballs, have night vision, that reflective layer without having huge ping pong eyeballs. Like imagining a cat with the size of these eyeballs is like kind of funny and a little scary.
Unsettling. Yeah.
But humans and primates do not have the tapetum lucidum. They don't have this. We don't have this reflective layer.
Wouldn't it be cool?
It would be very cool. We could have shiny eyes in the night. Yeah. And like, but this is including the tarsier family. So tarsiers don't have that reflective layer. So to be able to see well enough at night to precisely locate and catch prey, instead of this clever mirror trick, they just big ol' eyeballs. That was the plan.
Just make them big. Yeah, that's kind of how a camera lens works. So they just got like a full open stop camera.
Yeah, that is funny where it's like, how do you get, like with a telescope or a camera lens, it's like, how do you get it to see better at night or distances? Is like, make it bigger, make it longer,
make it bigger.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. Like your experience as a filmmaker, have you ever shot stuff at nighttime?
Yeah, there are cameras that are specifically good at shooting in low light, and it kind of the sensor on the lens kind of works in a similar way where they just the technology has figured out how to make these sensors as big as possible.
Make it big.
To soak in as much light. Yeah, exactly. And so I mean it makes the camera super sensitive when you move it. You have to adjust a lot, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you look at the sensor of the camera, it's just like a massive little mirror inside.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean,
I got two of them.
Yeah, and that's interesting because like, yeah, so because their eyes are so sensitive and there's just so much eyeball, a huge portion of their brain, which again is outsized by their actual eyeballs, is developed to visual processing. So they've got these brains and a lot of it is for visual processing.
Yeah.
You got your hardware, which is your eyeballs, and then the software has to process that data.
They got such tiny little skull brains.
I know. Where does that brain fit in there? I don't even know.
Where does it go?
It's a little brain. Big eyes, little brain. God, that's the life, isn't it? Just big old eyes, but tiny little
that's
brain.
That's what I, yeah.
Heavenly.
Just take in everything. Don't think about any of it.
Right. That sounds
except
actually
for killing. Yeah.
Horrifying. But so in their eyeballs, like I mentioned earlier, rods, we have rods and cones. So those are generally the two types of photosensitive cells in our retinas. Rods do not do much in terms of seeing color. They are really good, though, in low light conditions at picking up on very dim light. So the tarsiers don't see much in terms of color. Their vision is optimized for nighttime seeing, and so they can pick up on their prey. Also, fun fact, they can move their heads 180 degrees in either direction, allowing them 360-degree vision.
Whoa! Okay, twist. They're like, twist. They have owl necks. Yeah!
Yeah, so they're...
Oh, that's... They got bendy necks.
They got bendy necks. They're creepy little bloodthirsty goblins. I love them.
Oh, my God. That would be so... To just watch one of these things with these big... giant eyes just slowly 180 at you.
Yeah.
And then show those crazy predator teeth.
That would make The Exorcist like way cuter. Just like,
I want to, yeah. I'm going to remake it with these guys.
Your mother.
They're trainable.
Your mother sucks butts in hell.
Yeah. I'd be okay if one of these guys told me that.
Yeah, if one of these guys was like a little demon, I'm you know what?
Then I'm okay.
I'm all right with it.
All right with it.
Sign me up for demons if these are what demons are.
So if that's what they are.
So
take me to hell.
The Tarsier's hunting strategy is to stay as still as possible, staring into the night, watching for the movement of prey. Listening with their big ears, their independently moving ears, trying to pinpoint where their little prey is rustling, staring with their huge eyes, standing still as a statue until they pounce on their victim from over 6 feet away or 2 meters. They are incredible leapers as well.
Look at those legs. Yeah, yeah, they're springy.
Very springy. So just like this... I mean, we think they're cute, but if you're like a little guy sharing their territory, someone who would be their prey, it's just this huge-eyed goblin that is like this gargoyle, doesn't move, can swivel its head like basically 360 degrees, and then as soon as it spots you, literally like flings itself at you.
That's truly gargoyles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like perched in a tree waiting still.
I love gargoyles. I've gotten the opportunity to see some like gargoyles at like old churches. Yeah. And they're not really actually scary usually. They're usually super goofy. They're goofuses and
what
I love
them.
What a
weird thing. Yeah. For some reason I was thinking about gargoyles and I was like, what a strange thing we've done. To protect our buildings. What a strange creature we made up. But I guess we didn't. These guys are truly tiny gargoyles. Look at even their ears are like...
It's gremlin stuff. Yeah. So they mostly eat insects or arthropods. So like spiders, insects, anything. But they will also make a snack out of bats, birds, snakes, and lizards.
Whoa. So, I mean, because I was wondering, I was like, they're the size of a small rat?
Yeah.
It's not like they can so they'll take something down their own size or bigger.
Yeah. Anything just slightly smaller than them. They will, if they can pounce on it and fit it in their mouth, then it's food.
Then good for them.
Yes. Good for them. These are real, you know, like boss bays taking control of the situation. You know, you're little, but you can still massacre even smaller animals.
So it's just like a stealth attack. They just like jump on these things and start shredding them with their
crunching, big crunch. I mean, it is inspirational, right? No matter how small you are, there's always someone smaller you can fit in your mouth and just crunch down on.
It's good to know
So
it's good today, or even your own size.
Sure,
they'll pick on people their own size.
You know, if you can do it, if you can get a Biden, you can get a Biden. You know what I mean? Anything is food.
Yeah, because they can't be much bigger than the birds that they're taking down.
Well,
so.
I think generally speaking, they would take down smaller birds.
There are tiny birds out there.
There are small birds, you know, and I think like, and a lot of bird mass sometimes is just feathers. So like you get sort of, you can get.
The meat is.
Right. So the tarsiers themselves are quite small and they are prey to larger predators. However, they will not go down without a fight. some species of tarsiers form these small family groups, but then when they're threatened, they will join with other family groups to ward off the predators. So they will join forces and all shriek and scream and like try to drive away predators. It's fantastic.
That's incredible. I was hoping they would become like a little tarsier transformer, kind of like create a big just like pile on top, become a big one to fight. But that's cool too. No, shrieking is also
form
cool.
Of tarsier, shape of bigger tarsier.
Tarsier, yeah. Just fight together.
Yeah, just like little the tarsiers falling off as they get punched by like the other animal.
Yeah. But I love the teamwork.
Yeah, teeth made out of ever smaller tarsiers. Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
So earlier, like I mentioned that they do not like to be handled. These are, I feel like for anyone who's like an introvert, these guys are truly like, you know, kindred spirits. So they are so specifically adapted for their environment. They absolutely cannot survive or be bred in captivity. Their eyes and ears are so sensitive, they don't tolerate light, loud sounds, and they hate being handled. In captivity, they will sometimes throw themselves against the walls of their enclosure in distress, which can be fatal. So, like, you know, leave them alone.
Leave them alone. They're good on their own.
Yeah.
They can handle themselves. I do. It's hard not to pick them up.
I know. They are adorable, but just know when you pick them up, they want to murder you. If they could murder you in that moment, they would do it without hesitation. Like, we joke about that with cats, but it's not really true. Like, our house cats, it's like, you want to murder me? But not really. They like you. They want to have the food you give them. They like the cuddles. These little guys, I'm 100% confident if we could get in their brains and they see you coming at them, trying to cuddle them, making a kissy face, they are, like, thinking, like, murder, 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 murder.
They're going to attack your face.
They
don't need you to give them food. They love the hunt.
They
love the hunt.
Yes, they thrive on it. They just love killing. It's fun.
Yeah, and that's all they need. Leave them alone in the jungle to kill.
Right, exactly.
And thrive and live their best life, murdering snakes.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag murder life.
Yeah. Hashtag tiny gremlins.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
On to another murderous cutie. Bridget, the world is full of the cutest animals who love to kill stuff. So I want to talk about one of the cutest foxes in the world, the fennec fox.
Now, I love these guys.
These guys are, I think these are relatively well known. Probably if you're a listener, you've seen one of these guys. So these are the little foxes, kind of like sandy colored with the big ol' ears. So they are found in the deserts of northern Africa. They are the smallest of the canids. Canids being a family that includes dogs, wolves, jackals, and foxes. So smallest fox, smallest canid. They're little teeny tiny guys. So they grow to be around 15 inches long or 40 centimeters, not including their tail, and weigh around 2 to 4 pounds. So 1 to 2 kilograms.
Oh,
little babies.
It's all ear weight.
It's all ears.
Yeah, it's all ears.
Yeah, their ears are actually bigger than their heads. Sometimes they're like half the size of their bodies. They look like fluffy chihuahua bunnies.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I don't know how they hold these guys up, but it's cute.
They have the largest ear to body ratio of any canid. So they are, it just makes, what is it about big old ears that is so cute?
I don't know. You wouldn't think it, but right. Like, I don't know. These guys are really working it in particular.
They really do.
With their cute little foxy face. It works. It just works. They're pulling it off. They look great.
It's a good fit. And yeah, so like they have these also little fuzzy tufted feet, footsies, little feet that protect their little paws from the hot desert sand.
Oh,
just like
little booties.
Just absolute cuteness. They are. It's like, you know, remember the Avatar animated series? Not the blue people Avatar, but the...
Right, yeah.
You know,
the OG.
Firebender, yeah, the OG Airbender Avatar.
Yeah.
They had that little thing, Momo, with the huge ears.
Oh, yeah!
Kind of
yeah.
Like, I don't know, kind of similar vibes. Not quite. I guess Momo was more of a lemur thing, but these got just the big ears. The big ears are so...
It's the big ears, and on... and on any pet, the ears are one of my favorite things to play
yes,
with.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's what it is. I bet they're real soft.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't touch them, but I bet they have the softest ears.
I would imagine, yes. Yeah, my dog, like...
I really, yeah.
Yeah, getting the scratches on my dog's ears, it's like, these ears are just like little cuddle zones. I love them.
I love them. I wonder what these guys look like wet.
Well, I can tell you, Bridget, they should not get wet. They would hate it because
they live in a desert. Yeah.
They live in a desert. Yeah. They do not love water. They don't swim, really. They do not want to really be around bodies of water. In fact, they don't even really need to drink that much water. Most of the hydration they get is from the juices of their victims. So they love killing. They will eat small mammals, lizards, birds, geckos, but they'll also eat eggs. They'll even eat root vegetables. So they're quasi-omnivorous, but they absolutely love to kill stuff. But yeah, because water is so scarce in their desert environment, most of their hydration comes from the blood and the guts of the things they kill.
Good for them. Just straight... lizard Gatorade.
Right. Oh, God.
For these guys.
cool and refreshing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, a little coach, one of these fennec foxes is a coach, and then, like, wins the game, and they just dump a big, like, frothy thing of, like, lizard guts on them.
Lizards. Yeah. All right, team, let's take a break. Everyone get some lizard guts.
So let's go back to those ears for a minute, though. What are those massive ears doing? Are they flying around like planes? I wish. So the massive ears actually serve two functions. One is to actually keep them cool in the desert heat, and the other is to stalk and locate victims no matter where they try to hide. So the obvious use of these ears is being sensitive to hearing prey. So they can hear arthropods or rodents moving under the sand, like buried under the sand. And once they've pinpointed their prey, they will find exactly where they are under that sand, rapidly dig them up, and then before they know it, it's a murder.
I would love to watch it dig. I bet it's really cute watching them just dig in the sand for murdering purposes. But those little tufted paws just
like,
going
oh boy,
in the sand.
Oh boy, oh boy, here I go, I'm gonna murder.
That would drive me crazy. Like, imagine hearing everything moving underneath the ground. It's good for them, but like, I think even if it's all food, like, imagine being like full and being like, oh, I still hear.
I mean,
my food moving.
That's the thing, though. When you're a little guy, you got a rapid metabolism, and you live in this desert environment. Like, you're probably always hungry. Always hungry for murder. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so they...
You gotta be paranoid.
Imagine if you could hear, like, just hear a burger scuttling around, and you're like, I'm gonna get that burger.
Yeah. I'm going to get, yeah. Drive me nuts.
So large ears also means a large surface area where blood vessels can spread out and meet the air, which cools down the blood as it circulates into the body. So it's actually a built-in blood conditioner. This is a common technique that animals will use to cool down in hot environments. So like jerboas, which are adorable little like mice. They look like little mice that have like kangaroo legs and giant ears. They're so cute. African hares also have just gigantic ears. Yeah. And even when you think about it, elephants, like those big ears, in addition to being able to kind of fan them around, like that surface area allows that blood to cool and get recirculated back into the elephant. So it helps keep them cool.
That is so, yeah. I mean, it never fails to like amaze me how smart evolution is and the body is and like these little tricks.
It's like all improv. All improv, baby. No plan.
Yeah, like
all
what
improv.
If we made the, yeah. What if we just like really stretched out the ears so they can feel the breeze?
Yeah, it's not even that though. You just get a Dumbo born one generation, and then like Dumbo's like, huh, I feel actually really good, really cool.
Yeah,
and he makes more Dumbos, and the ladies.
Yeah,
love it.
I mean I mean it makes sense because like I guess like when you're hot and you just like starfish in bed and spread out to cool down.
Yeah.
These guys have smart ears.
Squirrels do that sometimes too to like dissipate heat, like where they kind of spread out.
I've seen that.
And it's called.
Yeah, I've seen.
It's got an actual name. You want to know what it is?
What is it called?
Splooting.
No way.
Yeah. Yes way.
I remember the first time I was amazed. I saw a squirrel just like fully lying on the top of a park bench. in the middle of the summer, and it was the first time I had ever seen anything like that, and I was like, are you okay, little buddy?
He's like, just splootin'.
I guess that's what he was
mind
doing.
Your own business.
just splootin'. Leave me
just
to sploot.
Splootin'. Leave me alone. Splootin'.
I can't believe that really feels like something the internet came up with. I love it.
So while
these guys have splootin' ears.
So fennec foxes are also pretty cute in their social lives. They live in family groups in the den, and that is adorable. They do actually hunt alone, though. Like when they're out murdering, they do it on their own.
They don't want their family to see it.
Right. You're too young to see this, Junior, and then just ripping the head off of something. But, you know, they actually will take on prey larger than themselves. They are that
for them.
Dedicated to the cause of murdering things. So they will sometimes like pick out a rabbit, and rabbits can actually be larger than them. These like hares will be bigger than the fennec fox. And they're like, I could eat it. I could do that. That's a family dinner.
That's smart. They know a rabbit probably doesn't have like can't hurt them. It's bigger than them. But it probably can't hurt them.
Well, it's not necessarily true, though. Rabbits and hares will viciously fight back if they can. Like, they have massive hind legs that can really, like, actually shred and tear. So, like, they are... They will defend themselves.
I just had an image. Yeah, fair. I just had an image of, like, a rabbit trying to, like, back kick one of these things.
Yeah.
Just, like, flying through the air.
Yeah. So it truly, like, it sounds like fighting a rabbit. That's like punching down, but not really.
I could fight a rabbit.
I could fight a rabbit.
I can fight a rabbit.
I could fight at least two rabbits.
But you know, I love the toughness.
Yes.
I love that size doesn't matter.
That's
I like
right.
that they're. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are tough little guys.
Yeah, they've got like. Big guy energy, but in a little guy.
And that's what we love to see.
That's what we love. So unfortunately, because they are so cute, people do try to keep them as pets. So I get it. I definitely sympathize with wanting one of these as a pet because, like, I mean, cute.
Sure.
So cute.
Look at it. Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
So cute.
I want to boop its nose.
I do want to boop
or
its nose.
Ears. I don't know.
I want to scratch its little ears. I want to carry it around the house, making airplane noises, going like.
But don't do that with wild animals.
Let me present to you just a case against keeping them as pets. Here's a few reasons. First one is they smell like Satan's butthole. Their pee is highly potent. They have very stinky, concentrated urine because they use that in the wild to mark their territory. And in addition...
And also they're not drinking a lot of water.
Right. It's very concentrated, very stinky. Good point. Yeah. Also, they like to roll around in their own piss. So, you know...
Oh, no,
they
buddy.
Love the stink life. We mentioned earlier they don't like water. So they roll around in their own piss, and it's really not recommended that you give them baths because they get very stressed out. So you're going to have, like, this piss-covered, reeking animal who, if you try to bathe, can give them, like, a panic attack and can be dangerous. So, like, yeah, it's not a great situation.
It's truly like a newborn baby. I imagine.
Slightly less hard than a newborn baby, yes. So,
yeah,
they are not domestic.
But you should bathe your newborn babies.
You should. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully your newborn baby is not rolling around in its own piss for very long.
Yeah. Seems unavoidable at a certain age.
Right.
But...
Right. Right. On this show, we are strongly anti-child neglect. So,
yes.
The fennec foxes are not domesticated. They love hunting. They have an omnivorous diet that is very difficult to replicate. Dogs and cats, like you may be thinking like, well, they're carnivores. Well, they have lived with us for thousands and thousands of years to the point where their metabolism has evolved to be able to eat much more of our human food such that we can make these like kibble formulations. Like we've figured out the diet for, well, maybe not 100% figured out. But like, dogs, for instance, have gained the ability to digest grain, which their ancestors lacked. So.
Right. And they can have a little piece of salami as a treat.
As a treat. They can have a little piece of salami, but only as a treat. And they can, you know,
only as a treat.
They can eat some grain. They are still, they still require meat and protein. Same with cats. Like cats need meat and protein. But dogs especially have developed the ability to digest more grain than their ancestors. Cats are a little less. Yeah. Cats didn't really change that much in terms of their dietary needs compared to their
untamable.
Ancestors. Untamable. Yeah. But dogs definitely have. Fennec foxes have not been domesticated at all. So their metabolism has not adapted to any aspect of a human diet. So you need to feed it live insects, live rodents. You also need to do like vegetables. I looked at like some of these things where like people recommend you feed them live baby birds. First of all, I don't know how you source that. I don't know where you get them.
Yeah, you got to trap and also blood everywhere.
Blood
I
everywhere. Again, they love murdering. So yeah, you would have to be cool with like having your pet like do a murder spree every day and like with a side of salad. That's what their diet is.
With a nice little house salad on the side.
Right. I'll have the bloody grotesque murder rip a baby bird's head clean off its shoulders. And like could I get some arugula just on the side?
Right. I just imagine like these people like they're like, oh, I got to leave my house for 2 hours a day. Set a little bird free in my house.
God.
Leave for 2 hours. Come back to a crime scene.
Right, right.
A tiny just crime scene.
I don't ask questions. I just let it happen.
Yeah. I just let a bird loose in my house and see what happens.
Also, if you have one of these guys, you should really fill your house with sand. They love burrowing.
Yeah.
They love digging up sand. So really to give it its best life, you would want to fill a room with sand. Put some live insects in there, maybe some scorpions, baby birds, tubers.
Some heat lamps.
Yes. Yeah. And deal with an animal that smells like super piss, poops in the house, and who screams constantly. Like, this is what they sound like.
Oh. Wow.
So imagine that 24/7.
That's annoying. Leave these guys alone.
The pungent and potent odor of piss everywhere, dead animals, poop. Not a pet. That's my verdict.
Not a pet. Looks like a pet. Not a pet.
Not a pet.
Which is the hardest thing for people to wrap their head around.
It's hard. I get it.
I get it too. Yeah. I want to cuddle it. Yeah. I want to give one of these guys a nice boop.
Right. Like I want to dress in little sweaters and call him like Benjamin and be like, come Benjamin.
That's a good name.
We must go to the market for your fresh baby birds.
They definitely are the kind of like pet where they don't, you know, if its name's Chris, it goes by Christopher. They right. go by the full.
Yeah.
They go by the full name.
Yeah.
They're distinguished. Ugh. Imagine it in a bow tie, but don't.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. I'm not going to stop.
You can imagine it. Imagine it. Don't put it in a bow tie.
I'm not the tyrant of your imagination. I encourage you to imagine it in a bow tie. But if you try to make that a reality, it's going to be, you know, kind of pissy.
I imagine you'll lose a finger. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll bite you. And apparently their teeth are super, super sharp. They're like little razors. So like, you know how like puppy teeth are actually weirdly sharper than adult dog teeth?
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like that, but even worse. So like their bites are apparently very bloody and painful. So, you know,
seems like a bad pet. Around bad pet.
Yeah. Let's have like an imaginary one as our pet, like, and imagine it. And put a little bow tie on
it. Get a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. look at some pictures and get
and
a stuffed
just,
animal.
Just like imagine the smell of concentrated dehydrated piss, like in your mind.
Oh, you can tell these guys look like stinky little stinkers.
They're little stink guys, and they love it. You can tell they love it. They
love
roll it. Around in it.
Yeah, they love.
Yeah, piss.
They love being stinky.
Yeah,
and yeah. You just gotta let them be them.
You gotta let them be them.
Oh, they're so cute. I'm assuming their ears like move back and forth, but they don't really like go down.
Oh,
they
Yeah. It's the full range of cute and horrible gremlin goblin mode.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. absolutely. Definition of goblin mode.
It would kill me to see them have like sad floppy ears.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I saw a video of one getting bathed and it had like its ears were like pinned back and it looked miserable. And it's like, don't bathe them. Let them be stinky.
Don't
he doesn't bathe in the wild. If you like, that's the thing. If you're going to get one of these as a pet, you got to commit to the stinky lifestyle. The goblin mode.
You got to commit to stink life. And
yeah. And you're also going to stink,
I don't think
by
humans,
the way.
Yeah.
You're going to smell like piss, too.
Your house is going to smell.
I
don't think, I don't, you know, these guys can commit to stink life. I don't think humans should.
Right. Right. But if, like, again, like, you will smell like piss and you should accept that.
Yeah.
What a good message.
Yeah. Leave these guys alone.
Leave them
They're
alone.
They're cutie, so.
Leave them alone.
I do want to
give
them
smell like piss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let them smell like piss. Let them fight bigger animals.
And
stay in their families and scream.
And like juice box a lizard. Just like suck a lizard up like
juice,
a juice box.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just full Capri Sun.
Capri Sun. Crush it like a Gatorade bottle and squeeze all those guts in there. I love them. They're so good.
I love its little tail and its big ears and its cute little nose.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert.
Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bridget, we are on to perhaps the most devious animal in the world. And it's cute. It's so cute.
It is. It, yeah, what a little ball.
Yeah.
Little furry ball. Feathery ball.
I think I may have talked about these dudes on the show before, but let's talk about them again because it's been quite a while. And holy moly, they are the most insidious, demented, jigsaw killer level murderers out there. And they are adorable. So look at this sweet little birdie bird. Can you describe it, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of tell there's some evil behind those eyes. it's like a pigeon, but if a pigeon was like a cute little ball, a tiny little ball pigeon with a very aerodynamic looking tail, which I imagine helps him. But the thing, they're very cute. They're tiny. It's like a little bird ball.
Yeah.
A tiny little bird ball.
Little bird ball.
But I immediately do not trust it because, and I have a feeling this is going to come up. It does have a beak that comes around into like a very sharp point. it has like this weird little curved beak, the tiniest little curved beak you've ever seen.
Maybe that's just for punching a hole in your Capri Sun, you know what I mean?
It's just for snacks.
Just for snacks.
Just for tearing open like a cutie orange, which is about the same size and shape of this guy.
Yeah, so these are shrikes. So shrikes are a family of medium to small birds who are mainly found in Africa and Eurasia, although there are also a couple of species found in North America, including the loggerhead and northern shrike. And I think most of these pictures I've shown you are the loggerhead shrike. So they are...
They look familiar to me, but
you may
also...
have seen them.
Yeah. Also, birds can be hard to identify for me, not a birder in the wild, but...
I've done birding and it's hard, even like when you have some experience, it's difficult. So they are typically gray, brown, and white in coloration with a black beak, and they've got a little bandit mask over their eyes. They've got the raccoon thing going.
They do.
So you know
that's kind of what makes them tough.
You know they're up to something, these little Zorros. I feel like it's a weird kind of stereotyping with the bandit mask, but it's like almost always like in nature when you got someone with a bandit mask, it's like you're up to something because raccoons are always up to stuff.
Your eyes are dark. I can't fully trust you, but it is, it's a cool look.
Right.
It's very cute.
I mean,
it's sleek. These guys are sleek as hell. I like their tails.
Yeah.
They look like they're fast. They look like they can dive.
They look like little crime lords, and I do like that.
They really do. Yeah. That first picture you have, it looks like a little Tony Soprano bird.
Yeah. Hey, you come to my eggs wedding, and you don't even bring...
Don't bring gabagoo.
You don't bring gabagoo.
we'll work on that one.
Did you know that gabagoo is actually from capicola, and it got bastardized into gabagoo?
It's the same meat. It's capicola. It's just like slang, it was like Italian slang for capicola.
Well,
and
it's like
it's gabagool, because, which is one of our best words,
right? Because in southern Italy, capicola, like people will sometimes drop the last vowel in words, so capicola turned into capicola somehow, like,
yeah,
I don't know, got like from the transatlantic trip from Italy to the US, like it turned into like gabagool or something, and it's like became like gabagoo,
which is one of our best words, so
it really is, you know? So these
and this great melting pot,
yes.
So these, gabagool is one of our best
things.
Yeah,
birds definitely look like they're complaining about gabagool.
Yeah. They do. There's a line in Toy Story 3, I want to say, where Miss Potato Head is packing up Mr. Potato Head for a trip, and she says, I'm packing your angry eyes just in case. And these guys definitely have their angry eyes.
That's right. Yes. Despite looking just like this little bird that is also perhaps a touch mischievous, they are known as the butcher bird for good reason. So shrikes are carnivores. They love meat. They not only love to eat meat, they love collecting meat and saving it for later. So how do you do that when you don't have a fridge or a pantry? Well, you shish kebab your victims on spikes. So...
What? Oh, wow. They're little psychopaths.
Yes. So they will catch insects, reptiles, small mammals, and even other birds and impale them on spikes wherever they can find spikes. So that could be thorns, branches, or even man-made structures like barbed wire.
Wow, they have like little meat lockers just around.
They're like their Leatherface, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, these are serial killers.
Yes. So some species do make sure to kill their victims before impaling them, such as the loggerhead shrike. And they will grab their victim by the neck, inflict a precise bite to the neck, paralyzing them. And once their victim has gone limp, with the prey's neck still in their beaks, they will shake them violently until their neck snaps. And these shrikes, these little birds, subject them to a G-force similar to a roller coaster.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Also methodical, but also violent. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I respect it. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Of this tiny bird.
Yes.
This cute tiny bird that I want to hold in my hand.
Right.
But now I really don't.
I feel like I would be very like, I would, if they were like a crime boss, despite them being this little and small, I'd be like, yeah, whatever you say, boss. Like, I would respect them.
Oh, yeah. No, even more now, the Tony Soprano of birds.
Right. Exactly. You know, like, you gotta make a quick, you gotta pow right in the neck.
And much like Tony Soprano, there's something lovable about it, but also, you know, there's an inherent evil.
They will kill you if you present them with, you know, complications.
In a pretty violent way. Yes. Complication is such as being around when they are hungry.
Right. So then once they have killed their prey dead in this horribly violent way, they will impale them on a spike. So the use of this, like, meat locker helps them eat larger prey by, like, methodically stripping bits of flesh off them. And also to save the food for later if they're, like, you know, not so hungry anymore. Just like, you know, leftovers. And it's like a half-eaten freaking lizard on a spike with its face just in its locked-in... to what it looked like when it was violently assaulted.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And the doc I sent you, I said, don't scroll down. But now you can absolutely scroll down now because, you know.
Yeah.
I've got pictures of this business. And it's.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is horrifying.
Yeah.
This is... gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crime scene.
Yes.
These are crime scene photos.
It's like from Hannibal.
It looks premeditated.
It is. Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is these are some violent pictures of the small rodents and other birds, which is something more creepy.
Yeah,
a tiny
unsettling.
Lizard just like just through the head.
Yeah, like that. I think it's like a I think it's some kind of mouse or rat, and the spike is going just right through the skull.
Right through the they really especially this one, the first one, how they angled it to impale it. And
Like they're doing art now. They're like they're get. It's like a arrangement. You know, like edible bouquets,
right?
Where it's artfully arranged food, but it's like that. Yeah. But like, hey, check out how I've artfully arranged
tinier animals.
Mouse, I'm gonna skeletonize.
It's also like I understand their the branches can be this sharp, but it feels like they had to sharpen some of these things.
I mean, this is like they usually pick out really thorny trees.
Yeah.
Like these are that one. That's like a thorn. So
that is sharp. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. Like I don't
that's
know.
Definitely a
I don't know of them actually like sharpening branches. They tend to just like to use the available spiky things.
Yeah.
That's why they will absolutely use barbed wire and just like
the barbed wire that one and maybe it's just this type of lizard that looks barbecued.
Yeah, it's I mean it's a horned lizard, so it already looks kind of dried out. I mean it could have been there for a few days and
for a while
mummify a little bit. Actually, you know, they will do food preparation, so like they will take something that is normally toxic, like a toxic insect such as the lubber grasshopper, that if they ate it immediately, it would make them sick. So they will impale these grasshoppers, leave them dead and impaled for around 3 days while the toxin degrades, and then eat them once they're ripe, essentially.
Wow.
Once the toxin has degraded enough during the decomposition. And then, like, eat them, and they're safe then. So, yeah, it's, like, kind of a...
Smart kid.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, I've, like, letting your wine age, except it's a dead grasshopper.
But except it's dead poisonous grasshopper. Do they, like, I have to feel like their food gets poached a lot, or do they, like, hang out, they protect it?
I mean, yeah, it's an interesting question. Because they're, like... high up in, like, usually these thorny things are sort of, like, high up. So, like, a typical predator isn't going to be up there. It may get poached by other, like, predatory birds or other shrikes, potentially. But, yeah, I mean, I think they will eat it. It's, they will, like, once they've killed it, they will eat it. Like, immediately they will eat as much as they want until they're full. And then, like, they'll stop eating, go off, do their business. And then come back. And I'm sure sometimes it gets poached, but, you know.
Yeah. But you don't want to mess with these. You don't want to poach one of these guys' food. They'll impale you.
Yeah, like you don't want to get...
They'll have your head on a spike.
Literally.
Yeah. It's truly a crime scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because they will impale anything they catch. So like from a little bee, which there's something cute and sad about that. Just like this bee that they've impaled. To like a large rodent or even a bird nearly their own size. Like they will take on birds that are almost like the same size as them and like thrash them. And then it's incredible. Like just they are the Hannibals of the bird world.
Yeah. These guys, are maybe the scariest to me.
I saved them most terrifying for last because, yeah, it's like hell. It's like things impaled on spikes. These are hell birds.
And they just look so proud of their kill, too. They're standing next to it just like, yeah.
I did
like,
it. Yeah. They're not even like trying to shirk responsibility. They're like, yeah, I did it. I did this.
Yeah, I did this. Mess with me.
It's like if O.J. Simpson had written a book that said, I did it, instead of if I did it.
Yeah. And with him on the cover next to his.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like next to the murder scene.
Yeah. These are. Yeah. Truly crime scene photos.
It really is. I've got them in the show notes. You know, it's like.
Check them out.
Check them out if you want. Like, they're not. I don't find
they're
them,
not gory.
I don't find
they're
them too
not gory,
but I think just emotionally, they're it's
yeah.
The punch is not the gore.
It's
not really gore or
no,
blood.
It's just shocking.
It's the emotional gut punch of seeing this bird proudly standing next to like one of them is a European robin, which is one of my favorite birds.
Oh.
I think they're the cutest birds in the world. It's just this poor little European robin impaled on a spike with this like innocent looking bird just being like, yeah, I did that. That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to eat that later.
I'm going to eat it.
It's going to be delicious.
I'm going to eat half of it now and save half of it for later.
For later. Yeah.
No, it's.
They're smart. They ration, you know.
Yeah. No, it's.
It's not a gore thing. It's just, it's shocking to see in the animal kingdom.
Yeah. It's
something that seems so premeditated.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I feel maybe because, you know, I feel like our culture has a somewhat unhealthy obsession with true crime these days.
Yeah.
Like the whole Dahmer obsession. And it's a little bit. Yeah. It's a little gauche. It's a little unhealthy. So maybe we could just educate ourselves about nature and then get our sick kicks that way, because there's a lot of serial killers.
There's
in the natural world.
Yeah. It seems like it, and like in real life, the last people you would expect.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
I couldn't have said it better myself, Bridgert. Which is why, again, I'm always keeping one eye open around you, because, like, you look very innocent, very sweet.
Right, but there's something. You know, there's something behind the eyes of all
these. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna group myself in with them. Adorable little sweeties.
I have seen you, at a shoot, because we used to work together, and there was, like, a shoot. And I remember, like, you would put up signs, like, be quiet in this hallway. And people would walk on by, having loud conversations. And here comes Bridgert again, like, she's like the Tarsier of the human world, you know, like looks very sweet, very innocent, and then just like destroys these people, literally rips their head off, you know, impales them on spikes.
If you're talking on one of my sets, you know, it goes quiet pretty quickly. I storm out of the room and then everything is silent.
Right.
And, you know,
head impaled.
No
on
one knows
the boom.
What happened. Send a PA to clean it up.
Right.
Save it for later. Yeah.
Save it for later for the craft table.
Yeah. just a bunch of little birds.
Well, Bridgert, before we go, we have to switch gears and play a little game I like to call Guess Who's Squawking, the Mystery Animal Sound game. Every week I play a Mystery Animal Sound, and you, the listener, and you, the guest, try to guess who's squawking. So, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Are you ready? So, last week's Mystery Animal Sound hint was this. This alarm call is no laughing matter.
Wow. That sounds like is it a rubber duck?
That's right. It's a literal rubber duck.
It's a rubber ducky. Give me the hint one more time.
This alarm call is no laughing matter.
Laughing matter makes me want to say a hyena, but that definitely sounds like some sort of bird. That noise comes out of a beak, I want to imagine. This is another just like wrong guess, but I'm going to go with some sort of loon.
Interesting. It is a wrong guess. I appreciate it nonetheless. But this is the alarm call of a llama. It's a llama. You got llama.
Wow.
Bridgert, you got llama. How's it
wow.
feel?
Wow. I've never trusted llamas. they're tricky. That truly sounds like it comes out of a beak.
It does. It does. Or a horn. It's an odd sound.
Yeah. It's an odd, sound, but, I guess llamas squeak or squawk.
Or squawk.
Who knew?
Yeah. So llamas are social animals, and they live with a herd in the wild. And in captivity, they will consider those who live with them as part of their herd, regardless of species. So similar to donkeys, they can be used as livestock guards who will issue alarm calls and attack predators who try to attack its herd, which could be a group of sheep or other livestock that the llama has now adopted and believes it must protect with this incredible alarm call and with a righteous aggression.
I love llamas as like old timey sentries.
Yes.
Bodyguards. Sentry guards. Yeah.
Yeah. They,
that seems, yeah.
They're lovely. I love them.
Yeah. They're a strange animal, and that seems like a good job for them.
Yes. On to this week's mystery animal sound. Here is the hint. As a fellow introverted redhead, I sympathize with sometimes wanting personal space. All right, Bridget, can you guess who's squawking? And if you guess correctly, I'm going to have to bleep you out so everyone else can have a chance. But people will know if you got it right.
I feel like that's...
You are absolutely correct. Yes.
Oh, that feels good. That
it
feels
does.
Good.
I'll quack you out, but everyone, for the record, Bridget has guessed it correctly.
And don't you forget it.
Don't you forget it, or she's going to like impale you on a spike.
On a spike. Yeah, that's also the way of Bridget. not in this podcast, but...
Yes. So, very good guess. Bridget, thank you so much for being on the show today. Where can people find you?
Thanks so much for having me. It's so fun to talk about animals. I love them. You guys can find me on the Small Beans Network. I have a couple different podcasts there, as Katie mentioned, Shooting Threes right now, where me and Sarah Griffith are going over movie trilogies. Rough Stuff will be back soon. And you know, whenever Fast and Furious comes out, we're going to be talking about that. And you can keep up to date with all the movie stuff, producing, writing, directing stuff I've been doing over on Twitter at Bridget Tweets for, you know, however long that is still kicking.
I'm curious about the new Fast and Furious because, like, I think they were filming it here, actually, in Turin. And, parts of it. Yeah. Probably they're going to say it's Rome or something, which sucks because, like, come on.
Yeah.
But there was like a helicopter going around, like making it impossible to podcast for.
Yeah. Oh, when you're in the vicinity of a Fast and Furious movie shooting, you know it.
It's disruptive.
It disturbs everything. It's very disruptive, but for good cause.
So I'm looking forward to that.
You'll see Katie like poking out a window, like shaking her fist.
Come on. What's the matter with you? Yeah.
Hey.
So thank you so much for joining me today. And hey, thank you for listening to the podcast. Your ears are doing great work there. I appreciate it. If you're enjoying the show and you leave a rating or review, I deeply appreciate it. I literally read every single review and they mean a lot to me. I really appreciate getting that feedback. And again, like if you think you know who's squawking or you got a question, you can email me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. And thanks so much to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows, I don't judge you. Come on. It's fine. Wherever. See you next Wednesday.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Do you have a digital mindset? Check out Season 3 of This Is Digital. Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including driving profitable growth in enterprise software and how the new sports fan experience can drive revenue. Featuring guests like Chris D'Agostino of Databricks and Scott Crable of Thoma Bravo. Check out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.